Backup this morning.
Good.
Backup, Patrick Vanderslice.
Need somebody else to pick on.
Got somebody else.
Somebody new.
For several months now, we've discussed casinos. In the last 2 years, we've had temporary moratoriums in place for purpose of discussion. And at the request of council and county administration, we've asked Patrick to prepare an ordinance to amend Chapter 115 of the Code of Sussex County relating to zoning by adding a CGD, Commercial Gambling District, to provide for casino venues in Sussex County. And being Patrick's here, I'll let him go from there.
Mr. Vanderslice.
I'll just be reading otherwise.
Thank you, Mr. President. As you recall, before we came before the council and we had a ordinance that just amended conditional uses, at that time the council requested that we go back and actually create a gambling district at that time. And that is what this ordinance has done. We've incorporated, of course, some of the things that were in the conditional use, especially the definitions of the casino, but we've also established, as it states, the commercial gambling district. The purpose, as is seen in Section 3 of the draft, of course, the purpose of the district is to provide for casino and or gambling or gaming venues. Of course, there are also, as there are all the other hoops that have to be jumped through in any zoning, we also have the special conditions. Of course, if there was an applicant for this district, they have to be in good standing with the state of Delaware and any other regulatory authorities that deal with casinos. There couldn't be any revocations or terminations within or outside the state of Delaware. There would have to be names of all persons and entities that have any ownership in this casino. And of course, one of the biggest things is that they have to be approved by the state of Delaware. They couldn't come here anyway to operate a casino. Also, as part of the application, they would have to do a transportation impact study and a community impact study. Also, we put in there that as part of their application, that the applicant would have to state the amount of funds that they're willing to commit to pay in order to address any of the community impacts of the project. Again, a casino can be developed. I think that was one of the things that was stated at that meeting in connection with other uses, but they all have to be connected to the casino. And that's addressed a little bit later in the uses. Also, we'll have the sign requirements of C1. Also has to meet the combined highway corridor overlay zone, and we also have the minimum parking requirements. And then in 115-83-12 are the uses, and the uses in this district are casinos with attached restaurants, attached retail sales, attached tavern or nightclubs, hotel or motel, personal service uses, meeting and special events, and of course the parking lots. And so everything, if there was a casino, they could have these things. It would have to be attached in some way. And then also a horse racetrack, provided a casino is located in the CGD. So of course that would be one of the requirements that the state of Delaware puts on. We also have the minimum lot sizes. A casino with or without attachments would have to be a minimum of 15 acres, and we put in the minimum yard requirements. Also put in buffer requirements, as the council can see. And then also landscaping and screening, especially if there is near any residential districts. Talks about the trees and also how tractor-trailer loading docks, trash dumpsters, have to be screened. And then also we have the reference to additional regulations, of course, with the signs, off-street parking, off-street loading, supplementary regulations, and Board of Adjustment. And with the wording of this ordinance, because we are establishing a whole new district, if it was introduced and went to public hearing, it could be easily amended by, you know, what was, if the planning and zoning went through that and there was something that needed to be due, because this is a whole new district, anything that touches could be changed through that process, because it's not strictly construed, it's a whole new ordinance.
Could you say that again? One last comment.
As my partner Everett Moore talked about earlier with the fees one, because it just said fees, you get into a problem of changing outside the scope of the title. Because this title is creating a whole new commercial gambling district, we're not going to be out of the scope because we could change anything in this through the public hearing process. So there's no way to go outside of the scope because we're putting in a whole new district.
Mr. Cole?
A couple questions. I'd like to see probably a sunsetting provision built into the ordinance in case the casino stops for some reason over a certain amount of time. It's sunset. And I guess from this ordinance, I guess if the guy loses his license, that's the other question. Once it's approved, we do land use. Once it's approved as a zoning category, that use is always there. So it wouldn't matter if the applicant lost his license or revoked it, the land use seems to still be in place. So we might again somehow connect or put in somewhere how a sunsetting provision that would automatically be triggered.
So in looking at in the special conditions is probably where we could put that in there, where we talk about the applicant, but we could also put in a part that says if the person that has it becomes terminated by the state of Delaware, that the use would go back.
Well, typically what they would do is quickly scramble to sell it to somebody else.
Yes.
But if nobody stepped up to buy it and X amount of time goes by, and I don't know, that can be up for debate. I'm just saying once X amount of time goes by, it should be sunsetted because
gotcha.
I just think that puts the county more in control.
There's typically not a method to sunset of zoning district.
You establish a district
unless you're creating an overlay district, which sometime that creates.
Well, that we'll let the lawyer see if there's a way to do it.
Or the conditional use could be done. Sunsetting could be done here.
Right. I just don't know. I'm just saying these are the things that concern me. Whether you can do it or not, you come back and tell us. In the location, I see an H on Beth. What is it? What is the H of special conditions? I guess.
The combined
highway corridor overlay, does that mean they're only going to be permitted on 1, 113, and 13? Is that what that means? Somebody's not going to come along and drop one on Route 9, Route 54,
The Route combined highway corridor overlay zones a special set of restrictions that include special change in setbacks, change in landscaping, parking where it's located, etc.
Okay, so we're not – I know those are large roads which have sufficient highway capacity where a route – 54 in certain sections would not, or a 26.
Right.
So what we're saying with this ordinance right now, they could be placed anywhere in the county, right? But there'd be these requirements. So I don't know if I can. I might have some concerns about that, and I don't know about the rest of the council on
Wouldn't
that.
The traffic impact study show that?
Show what?
An issue.
Oh no, I thought we were going to only stick to these main roads like 1, 113, and 13. I thought that was our understanding all along.
Well, I'm glad. Make that suggestion.
Yeah. Well, anyway, let me follow up on that because I had that noted down here and I went by it. The applicant would be required, I think, in D, to provide a traffic impact study, which is typical. And that's hard. I mean, I guess the numbers are the numbers. There's not much they can do about that, right? But then on the community impact study, that's kind of fuzzy. That could mean anything. So if the applicant's providing a community impact study and he's paying for it and they're working for him, I would think it would be a positive report. So maybe there should be some wording in there that the community impact study should be performed by some kind of third party that would not, I don't know how you would word that, but you know what I'm trying to get at.
Right.
We need to separate that impact study from the applicant in a way. Should be some space there. Casinos with attached restaurants. We ought to probably add in some definitions and a definition of attached.
Yes.
Does it mean on the same parcel? Does it mean actually physically attached? Does it mean they could have some pads, commercial pads like they do in front of big shopping centers? Does that meet our definition?
If it's under the same name, does that mean attached?
Well, we can easily put that, and I don't have the code in front of me if there is a definition.
But just somehow a definition of what.
We could make an attachment, or we could do a definition and put that in the definitions and word usage of what attached means.
Right.
What the, and you're correct, because what you intend isn't always what happens with verbiage, and anything is right. But what we're looking at is that it's attached. It's a sort of like, you know, Dover Downs, where you have the casino, then there's a hotel attached to it, and there's retail sales. It's all in one. You know, you can walk in one. So that's, but that's easily done by definition.
Right. But I don't know if I have any aversion to things that are not attached. I don't know. If it's all designed, it might be a better looking layout. Or anyway, so maybe attached, maybe we want to do something else that says they don't have to be attached. They somehow have to have some kind of commonality toward, you know, an interconnection. I don't know how you look at that, but that would... that would be a concern. And the other thing is, when I go up, like, and go by Harrington, some of these places, Dover, like you just said, Dover, we got minimum yard requirements. Now, I know we got 15 acres. So on 15 acres, then we go to 60 feet, which we have in our commercial district, which is somebody with an acre or 2 acres has to do 60 feet. Well, that doesn't bother me so much, but I would think facilities like this should have, I'd put a one in front of everything, a 160 feet for the front yard, 150 feet for side yard setbacks, because these activities are much different than other activities. And then I get to the maximum height of 65 feet. I know in Sussex County we've had a standard of what?
42.
How much?
42.
42 is the highest you can build a building in Sussex County, and a lot of people have found that to be appealing, because we it's not like a place with just a bunch of tall buildings. This would seem to break that again tradition of being 42 feet. So I think you're allowed to get the 45 sometimes with some changes or something. So say 40 to 45
typical,
feet.
Yeah, 45 in some of the commercial districts.
Right, that's
42 is typical.
Yeah, they're like four-story buildings. So I'm concerned about 65 feet as maybe being an area that we might not want to.
At one time, the ordinance was 165.
Oh, when we had C-Comi.
165, tall, wide, and length.
Height.
Square.
Mm-hmm. And let me just point out to you, if we'd have probably stayed at those heights, we would have had areas like in North Bethany and different places, you know, with what looks like, say, Ocean City and different resorts.
It would look like Ocean City.
And all I can tell you is, if you compare our property values today to Ocean City, we are far superior in the property values in Sussex County, and it's because of the lower density and the other. It's a whole different quality of life. So all I can tell you is, keep it low. People come; they appreciate that. That brings them back, and it brings a different type of ownership and stuff. Anyway,
question, George.
Go ahead.
You made reference to 160 on the front.
Well, I mean, kind of flipped that out.
I was just using that reference.
Yeah.
And you made reference to 150 on the side and the rear rather than 50.
Yeah.
What if they were all 150?
Whatever. I'm just saying, I just think when I look at 60, 50, and 50, and then I think of Dover Downs, and I think of Harrington, and I think of places like that, I say, that's not sufficient in a casino type of, with hotels, motels, restaurants,
amusements. You're talking structures. You're not talking parking lot, you're talking structures.
I'm talking structure mostly, right?
And the combined highway corridor overlay will reference the setbacks, the landscaping, et cetera.
So that would, it could still that, do that. I think that we have, yeah, that. I think we do have some, don't we have enhanced landscaping and all that stuff in that
especially
corridor?
Especially in the combined harder, right. Highway corridor overlay.
But I don't know, again, anybody can chime in if they want, but I just think that 60 feet, 50 feet, 50 feet is not sufficient. Especially if it was being proposed near, you know, my home or something.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which I don't think any will be. Control. I think I covered most of those issues as I went through this that I saw that I'd like to see, clarified or made it so that when we do have a public hearing that we can deal with these things. But sunsetting, I think, is important. If we get some guy comes in here and they lose all their licenses and nobody wants to step in and buy it because the economy's so darn bad. And here we are sitting with this zone forever. Shouldn't have that.
Anything else from council? Mr. Deaver?
I haven't had the opportunity to look at other ordinances from other areas, and I really wish we didn't have to do this ordinance, but I think it's necessary to do it. I'm hoping that we would be as conservative as possible and come up with the most requirements. I don't know how we compare with other jurisdictions on the Delmarva Peninsula or elsewhere. I'm sure you've looked at them, and, you know, how do we compare with the other areas?
With
how
our,
would this compare?
This compares, I mean, we're being, there's very restrictive aspects in this. A lot of the, you know, towns that have done the casinos or anything like that really don't, they just kind of go by the state of Delaware, mm-hmm. and then they have their zoning for it. Of course, Harrington and Dover were there, and then they added on, and of course, Delaware Park. So there's not much, per se, the zoning language in the state of Delaware. But, you know, we, you know, and the thing is with this, we can make it as restrictive as we want. And we have a lot of restrictions in here with the developing combination, the combined highway. We could put it to where it is on Main Road. You know, we can do, you know, as to whatever the council wants. So that's the good thing about establishing, as I think the council said before, establishing the gambling district. We can make it as restrictive. The council can make it as restrictive as they want. But this is very restrictive, is what I see. A lot of them are very vague, and it goes towards the other, you know, they're in a commercial district, and it's set up that way, so they don't have actual things to say about casino use.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do the other counties have nothing like this?
No, I mean, not per, because Kent County, I've looked at Newcastle, no.
They must have something in the way of
no, because it's was the towns that did it. So, you know, but all the counties are in the same kind of vein. If there was something put in the unincorporated areas of the county.
Dover Downs was annexed or already.
Right. Yeah, it was in the city. Mm-hmm. Harrington was in the city, and Delaware Park was in it. So there's not really anything to go by other counties, because a lot of times you do look at the other counties and you do a little cutting and pasting and you add on to what you need to do. But
right.
this was,
what
we were sort of developing this from our, you know, from taking from other states, you know, pulling things from New Jersey, pulling things from
the city. Is that what you have done here?
That's yeah, yeah. Right. So that's, you know, so you try to take things from other places, and then, of course, the good thing with the district is we can be as restrictive as we want. Because
how many acres is the Harrington area, the track there and all that? Do you have any idea, Lawrence?
No, it's massive as far as acres go. It's not 15. It's not even close.
Way over 100 acres.
Well, that's way over, right. How about Dover Downs is way got to be
the whole
tremendous.
Facility is a large acreage. But the Dover Downs facility, I'm not sure how it's divided, but you got the racetrack facility and all their parking facility that for the races, but it's not all inclusive as far as the slots for the casino. So.
Anything else from council?
Still substantial acreage.
Yeah,
okay. Can I have a question?
Yes, Mr. Lang.
Mrs. Deaver referenced thinking that it was only on 113 and 113. Is that a consensus, or is there other roads that should be specifically referenced and limited to?
No, I think it should be limited to the, if you get the amount of traffic that comes out.
That's why I asked the question.
I
wasn't thinking about all local roads, but 54, 26, 24.
Nine.
That's it. Nine, maybe. Mm.
Those roads can't handle what they got.
404. No. So, it really goes down to the major highways that would be the, okay.
Like CR1.
Sure.
CR1
is... we don't include it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Is that a consensus?
Anything else? Am I opposed to that idea?
Should it be written that way? Because if it's written that way, can we change it?
Sure.
We can change it back. Okay.
Well, what Patrick said, you can change anything you want to. It's a whole new district. It's a whole new zoning district.
Yeah, this is a whole new zoning district. So, again, if it's proposed, it goes to public hearing or the council has other things, it can be changed because we're inside the scope of the title because we're establishing the district.
Okay.
And what's the benefit to include which road are being impacted?
Mm-hmm. All right. So would auto racing have any, would ever be part of this?
Well, as part of this, mm-hmm. we only have in here, horse racetracks.
Uh-huh.
So we don't have anything in here about automobile.
Not as a condition or any, okay.
No.
It's come under gambling to start with.
Well, horse racing is gambling, right? But you don't gamble on a racetrack, or I mean, a
different deal.
Car.
Right, yeah. We don't have, we just have, if you see in the 8312 with the CDD uses, that would have to be something that's spelled out.
Didn't see that in there.
Yeah, that's why it's not in here. Yeah, there's no automotive racing.
Right, okay.
Anything else from council?
Could they do a conditional use in this zone for an auto racing as a... to complement the
Didn't include any, we didn't include any conditional uses.
No, we didn't include conditional uses.
I wouldn't want to.
Well, no, I mean, I don't see why not. I'm just saying it doesn't mean it's going to get approved, but I think there are many examples.
Establish a conditional use within the commercial gambling district. Thereby, they would have to apply for it. Mm-hmm. And have to go through public hearing.
Yeah, they first have to have the main district, then they
and
can.
We could look at the typical list of conditional uses and see what's related.
I think it'd be good to have as part of the discussion.
Well, it's very noisy. I think
sure.
It should
yeah,
have a lot
I don't
of
see any reason.
You're like the Harrington Fair, the way the Harrington Fair operates, it could be that type of facility. I think that's covered in a as a reference, but it doesn't come right out into a special events type. That would
mm-hmm.
be the fair.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
conditional
yeah, special use. Events, yeah.
Okay, if you'll take all this information and make some modifications to this and bring it back to us again as a draft, we'll look at that and see what we'll go from there.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
What's a community impact statement?
I don't know.
Okay,
don't
we're now starting past the time of the 11 a.m. public hearing, so we'll go to that.
I know, but we don't have that.
Some more.
Thank you. This is the time and place for the public hearing on the Deerbrook annexation of the Long Neck Sanitary Sewer District. At the beginning of the hearing, a brief presentation will be made by personnel of the engineering office. They will briefly explain the project and the purposes to be accomplished by it. After they've completed that presentation, council will have an opportunity to ask them questions in order to clarify their understanding of the proposed project. After that process has been completed, I will then open the floor to comments and questions from members of the public. If any member of the public wishes to be heard concerning this project, you are required to make a statement from the speaker stand. Before making your statement, please state your name and give your home address. And Mr. Davis, are you going to handle the presentation? Sure. Thank you.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning, sir.
I'm Rob Davis with the Utility Planning Department of the Sussex County Engineering Department. The purpose of the public hearing this morning is to consider the annexation of several parcels of land in the Long Neck Sanitary Sewer District. The area proposed for annexation is shown crosshatched on the attached map. On the map at the front of the room and the attached map that you received in your package. It is west of the Long Neck area, and for some reference points, we have, Route 24. I'm sorry, put that up upside down.
Well, now I know where it is.
You just
yeah.
want
doesn't change.
You just want to see where we're looking, right?
Excuse me. We have Route 24. We have Bay Farm Road, and we have Autumn Road. Landmarks would include Happy Harry's at the intersection of Bay Farm, Autumn Road with Route 24. And we have a McDonald's up in this area, and Wilmington Trust Bank at the intersection of Route 24 and Long Neck Road. It includes the proposed development of Deerbrook, which is this larger parcel. At the extreme west side of the proposed annexation area. A written request for annexation was received from the owner of the proposed project, the Deerbrook project. The area proposed for annexation adjoins the existing sewer district. I came to County Council on May 24, 2011 to request permission to prepare and post public hearing notices. Those public hearing notices were posted on July 7, 2011, and the public hearing was advertised in the Sussex Post. Today's public hearing was advertised in the Sussex Post on July 20th and posted on the county's website. The Deerbrook project is proposed for development into a 128-lot subdivision and has the required zoning. The developer will pay an estimated $444,000 in systems connection charges. The area is within the future service area for the Long Neck Sanitary Sewer District. Additional parcels along Branch and Autumn Road, are included in the proposed annexation area and will be served by the Deerbrook developer. The developer will install gravity lines in Autumn and Branch Roads and include adequate capacity in to serve the additional parcels through a pump station they will build. The additional area includes 65 existing homes on 73 parcels. The homes are a mix of single-family and double-wide manufactured homes with a few site-built homes, perhaps a half a dozen site-built homes. The engineering department received no written comments prior to today's public hearing. I did have two telephone conversations with area residents. Mr. Bill McGinnis at 26211 Autumn Road asked about costs and schedule, and at the end of that conversation, he indicated he was in favor of the annexation and sewer. And then this morning, I had a conversation with Mr. Bill Heron, who is on the corner of Route 24 and Autumn Road. He had general questions about the costs and schedules as well. He said the parcel has a conditional use for an office. I believe he said it was a real estate office. He said he personally favored the proposal, but he had not discussed the matter with other partners that he has in the piece of real estate. Let's see. Parcels in the annexation area, if approved, would pay the same rates as the Long Neck Sanitary Sewer District, the rates that are effective at the time the sewer service becomes available in the future. That would be, if the rates now would be a front footage assessment of $3.99, an annual service charge of $203.94, and a one-time systems connection fee for those parcels before they connect of $3,472. The rates, of course, could be different at the time that sewer service becomes available. I would also add that financial assistance is available for those with need and that qualify. Any questions?
Do you have anything else? Are there any questions from members of council?
I'm just curious. Now, with this kind of notice of public hearing, would this also be on the website like the other notice? We just started notices on the website.
The public hearing notice was published on the website.
It was on the website.
It's still there today.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm.
And there will be, I guess, as you lay the, we design it, there's handful of lots there that are now surrounded, look like they're getting surrounded by sewer. There'll be, we'll accommodate with connections.
The parcels stuff. Along
those white
Road,
yeah, that little chunk of white stuff in there,
are,
right?
Are proposed to flow into this piece of gravity line, and perhaps the county will do those at some future time. We have not received a request from those area residents.
Right, but in other words, as we design it, it's going to be so designed they may be able to go this way or that, or you've taken into consideration where they will go.
Yes, okay. Capacity is available. They have a service connection point, so we just haven't put lines in yet.
Okay, just so there's a plan, because it's not probably good to be, you know, start surrounding these little pockets of, you know, places that aren't serviced.
Any more questions of council?
If there are no questions, is there any member of the public that would like to speak on this matter, on this project? Sir, you come to the podium and give us your name and address, please.
Good morning, Council President, ladies and gentlemen. My name's Bill Heron. I live at 26223 Autumn Road, which Mr. Davis was kind enough to speak with me this morning. I have to excuse my voice, it's allergies. Anyhow, I just have a couple issues with this. The first issue is, this was just brought to my attention. I don't read, unfortunately, the Sussex Post. I think it would be nice if they started advertising maybe in the Cape Gazette and in the free paper, which is the Coast Press, mm-hmm. so that the people, the commoners, could have a better understanding of what's going on. They're low-income housing
there.
And there's a lot of people there's a lot of people that can't even rub two pennies together, and I don't know how this is going to affect them. Mm-hmm. I'm all for progress. I mean, you can't stand in a way. It protects our watershed, and sewer is the future. But with that said, this is a proposed, from what I understand, this is a proposed development, and yet since May, we've been enduring about 100 huge trucks coming down Autumn Road. It's cutting onto the corner of my property, carrying tons and tons of dirt. And I was wanted to especially take off my time today to bring this to Sussex County's attention, because I don't know what kind of effect it's having, a wear and tear on Autumn Road. Most importantly, it's the dangerous of the pedestrians and the cars. My car coming out of my property was almost hit. And then when I told the guy to slow down, I was brutally greeted with the
bird.
Yeah. And I knew that there would be a hearing, and I figured this is the beauty of our democracy. We do have our say in front of our elected officials, who I'm proud to say I've voted since I've been 18. I do have a business. I'm a little bit concerned about how this is going to affect my business and my livelihood, since we, H&H Ventures, has taken 5 properties that were abandoned, and we totally rehabbed them to make them low-income rentable properties. And this can be documented through Lawrence Blank's I'm very proud of what we've achieved. I think we're offering a service. And I've worked for Long & Foster for 10 years, and now I've been with Shore Realty, which is my own company, for approximately 6 years. I don't mean to take too much of your time, but I would kindly request, and I don't know if this was the proper procedure to do, but somebody could look into, there has to have been hundreds, if not thousands, of trucks have traveled down Autumn Road. And if I could just approach the map to show you guys something.
Certainly.
There's an alternative road that could be used on Indian Mission and then come down Friendship and enter this site through a back way, which would mitigate any exposure to pedestrians, cars, traffic. And of course, 24 is crazy. They're using the main, they're congesting a main.
Could you go back to the podium, please?
I apologize. Mm-hmm. There is an alternative route that anybody with common sense could use, that they could use Indian, Route 5, go down Friendship, and then come up Autumn Road, and that would mitigate the potential of what I fear is going to be a catastrophe, an accident, somebody getting hurt. Maybe my grass would grow back on the corner of the lot, and... And that's my major concern. I mean, being Sussex County, and
well, we're here to find out if you're support or oppose.
Well, I have to tell you, Rob Davis called me up this morning, and I have to give him kudos. I mean, he was proactive. I still have questions because I have two. It's an LLC. It's H&H LLC. I have two business partners. I took my time off. Unfortunately, they're physicians. They couldn't attend today. I'm doing the legwork. I have to meet back with them. I do like how Mr. Kroll will be putting the infrastructure in. I would think that it would be nice, since our house isn't that old and our septic isn't that old, that we're going to have to bear the brunt of the connection. When I do believe that when the peninsula was put in, that the people over at the other side of Route 24 were connected, or did get a little bit more help. You know what I mean? And I'm worried about these people here. If I could approach the map again, there's a lot of mobile homes and lots and such. And I would say it's low to moderate income. And I don't even believe half of them even knew. If I didn't, I would have tried to contact them and had a meeting. But unfortunately, they put a sign up on my front lawn, and that's how I was able to make a copy of it and make today's meeting, or I wouldn't have known about this. Mm-hmm. I mean, unfortunately, I should spend a little bit more time and go on Sussex County's website, which I will make it an effort to do that now. And maybe I should go by the Sussex Post, but I mean, when you have a free paper called the the Cape Gazette, and you have a paper called the Coast Press, which it doesn't you know, I don't know why it wasn't published in that, because I do read those too.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank you very much for the opportunity to speak in front of you distinguishing people.
Thank you. Is there anyone else that would like to speak concerning this matter? Is there anyone else?
Somebody.
Yes, there's someone in the back. Again, if you'll come forward and give us your name and address, please.
Morning. My name is Barry Shank. I live at 26073 Branch Road, which is part of the project. And I am for it. I support it. Bess Kroll did send a letter out October 12, 2007, so there was plenty of notice. But my question is when the infrastructure is installed, is it all going to be installed at the same time, or is the contractor going to be allowed to service his development first and have us wait that it ties into how many lots he sells as to when we can get it?
We have a thing called Ordinance 38. Would Ordinance 38, Rob, address the proposed subdivision?
It will, and the off-site infrastructure will be installed.
Come to the microphone,
yes.
Please state that.
So for his information, that blank area in the back there, which is the proposed subdivision, will be he will hire the contractor to put it in to the county specs. That same contractor may also install the other area.
Yes.
The question would be, what's going to trigger the installation, the proposed development, or are you going to go in with a contractor and put it into all these established lots?
The developer will install the off-site infrastructure during their first phase of the development. The developer of the proposed Deerbrook is an underground utility contractor, and he may do the work himself.
Okay. But let's say, because of the economy, let's just say he gets it all established, and this gentleman thinks he's going to be getting sewer. For him to get sewer, he's going to have to wait till Deerbrook starts their work, or do you have in an agreement that they must commence at a certain time to start installation?
As we progress through the Ordinance 38 procedure to get plans approved and so forth, part of that includes an agreement that will spell out the timelines and commitments of the developer to install the offsite.
So at this time, if this guy's got a bad system, he wouldn't know if he could hook up in a year or 2 years. He doesn't know. There's no. It's just
we do not at this time.
At this time,
not a particular schedule that we have.
Okay. Just recommend hold on.
But I would add the developer seems anxious to proceed.
Well, they all say that when they want something, right? Mm-hmm. They all say that. But because we've had that in the past where people get in these districts and they assume they're going to get some sewer, you know, in a timely fashion, and it just doesn't happen. So we're not making some kind of time frame when we do these things. Or maybe we should.
Not until we get further down.
We haven't
the agreement between Sussex County and the developer.
And during that process, you then put time frames in there.
Yes, we defined it.
But if he doesn't step up, nothing happens. Nothing's going to trigger.
He also doesn't get sewer.
Right, but these other people the guy wants sewer.
Mm-hmm. Well, my concern is in an email contact that I had with the developer on December 14th, 2010, his answer was, yes, I will be going up Branch Road, but in phases over a five-year time span, which is acceptable, because I know somebody who had bought a property, a lot on the road, the same road on Branch Road, and it will not take a standard system. So he bought it on the premises that once this annexation went through, he had 5 years annexation, and he could put in a holding
pen. There's no five-year guarantee. That's what I'm trying to point out. In the way we do things, at least we've done it in the past, we haven't locked this developer who's triggering all this into doing something within a – I think we should, because then there's
– My concern is that you allow him to go into his development, but he decides the economy is too bad and never proceeds forward with coming through Branch and Autumn Road. He got what he wanted, and we get left out in the cold.
Can't you?
I don't know. Yeah, that's a good question.
Mike Izzo, come
on. Yeah, the county engineer, maybe Mike can.
Yeah, I can speak to that issue. Michael Izzo, county engineer. We would require the developer, as part of his phase one construction, to proceed to serve this development immediately as part of that project. Now, what we cannot dictate as it stands today is when does he start his actual development? And we actually have worked with some developers more recently, and this one goes back a little longer than we've been working with Mr. Kroll, but for the Waters and Edge project in the Fenwick area, we actually did create an escrow agreement up front where there were certain commitments that had to be made for schedules, but this one being a little older, I don't think we were as sophisticated in 2007 when we started as we are now. Back in that time period, things were moving quickly apace, and delays of projects weren't really being seen like they are now.
So it's Gus Kroll who's will be the developer of this back parcel. Okay. All right. Well, again, I get it, just the scheduling is the thing that concerns a lot of people that would be like
so
him.
There would be requirements that as phase one, this would be completed.
This would be served.
This
that
wouldn't be tied into how many lots that he sold
that is
before
correct.
He decided to do it.
That's correct.
Right. The other understanding was is in the letter of 2007, it said about installing the infrastructure, but that you didn't need to tie into it immediately, that you could do it as needed. Is that a true statement?
One year. Right, 1 year?
Yeah, you have 1 year.
It's not as needed.
That's a misconception, then, of what he sent to the local residents.
Okay. Nope. You got 1 year.
And I think that's something else we should probably change as well, that the contact to the residents should not go through the developer, probably should come through the county.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
We have correct information.
Yeah. And the 1 to 5 years, don't hang your hat on that. That phase one may not start in 1 to 5 years. We can't, at this point, we don't have anything to control.
That was information was given originally to me through the county planning department that said that there was a 5-year annexation. And that once it was annexed into the district, you could put in a temporary holding tank. Is that not correct?
You could put in a temporary holding tank if I wrote a letter to DENREC that I expected SOAR to be there within 5 years.
Would you do that in this case? We don't know.
You know, I would. It would depend on how it benefited the homeowner, and I'll leave it.
Right, I got you. I understand.
That wasn't for me. In closing, I can attest to the amount of trucks that have been hauling dirt in there, but I would object to them coming the alternate route down Branch Road. It is tearing up Branch Road.
Where's all the dirt going? Does anybody
it's
know?
It's going back into his development.
Oh, he's taking dirt back there. I got you. Okay.
He's raising the level of his development, huh?
Yeah, raise some dirt.
Yeah, for whatever reason. It is tearing up the road, so I mean... Originally, I wasn't too concerned because I figured that he was going to be tearing up the road to put sewer in and he was going to fix it anyhow. But if this may not be done for 5 or 10 or 15 years, who's going to fix this road that's all ripped up?
That's right.
From these 10-wheel trucks coming in.
Yeah.
I'm an advocate of maybe the county changing the way we do things with Mike's department on when we create something like this, there ought to be some certainty to when it's going to be there so that... Because you're pulled in with this developer. Developer wants it, but then things could change. He could sell it to somebody, and that next guy could just...
Well, I am supportive of it. I would just like to see it happen.
Oh, if sewer's good. No, if the sewer's a good thing.
I would also ask that whether there was going to be public water installed with that as well.
No.
The developer said it was going to go into his development, but not the rest of the way around the loop.
There may be an opportunity to negotiate then with that installer, that franchise. Okay.
Do you have any other comments concerning the proposed annexation on the sanitary sewer district?
No, I would just ask that it's tied in, that Branch and Autumn be done during phase one.
Thank you. Are there any other, does anyone else want to speak concerning this project? Seeing none, Mr. President, at this point, let the record show no other members of the public expressed their desire to address council concerning this project, except the two that came to the podium and addressed. As a result, we will now close the public hearing record.
Close public hearing record, close the public hearing.
Would you like me to read the short title?
Yeah, read the short title and we'll see if there's any action from council.
A resolution to extend the boundary of the Long Neck Sanitary Sewer District to include an area of land east of the town of Millsboro, being situated in Indian River 100, Sussex County, Delaware.
Pleasure, council.
Can I ask a question real quick?
Well, yes, sure you can.
Do we have agreements already with Gus Kroll drawn up on anything?
We don't. We don't have a specific agreement at this point. We have an approved sanitary sewer concept plan that includes the construction of the offsite sewer.
Okay, so in the drawn up agreements, we could maybe do some things there. Okay.
During the construction plan phase, we'll progress to a formal agreement, escrow account.
Okay.
Any pleasure, council, do anything?
Well,
okay. Hearing none, we will move to.
Let it sit. We can bring it up later, right?
Sure.
It would have to be noticed on the agenda.
Right.
That we were going to act on it. If we had the public hearing is closed.
Mm-hmm. I make a motion, we defer.
Second.
I have a motion to second to defer. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
I sense there was.
Thank you, Robert. Next, John Ashman. Beaver Dam Road Expansion, Millville Sanitary Sewer District. This is from last week for you.
You're a good man. That's why you got the big job.
Yeah.
Extra pay.
Yeah. Rich on this meeting, yes, sir.
All those fringe benefits.
Yeah.
Perks. All the perks.
Yeah.
We pay for your gasoline.
The big office.
Yeah.
extra staff.
Mm-hmm.
All that kind of stuff.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I gave the abridged version and a special presentation for Mr. Cole.
Yeah, I love it. That's all right.
On January 11th, the engineering department came in for permission to prepare and post notices for Beaver Dam Road expansion of Millville Sanitary Sewer District. The area includes a portion of Beaver Dam Road from Substation Road to Central Avenue and a section of Substation Road from Beaver Dam to Central Avenue and the Pendel Acres subdivision. The public hearing was held on June 7th. At that public hearing, we heard opposition from one resident, and as a result, the department was asked to prepare and distribute a straw ballot as to the property owner's interest in Central Sewer. The results of that poll were as follows. We received 21 ballots. 13 of those ballots were for the expansion. Those are the ones you see marked in green. 8 of those ballots were opposed to the expansion. Those are the ones marked in red. And the ones that are still, you note, as white, we did not receive a ballot back from those parcels. The project consists of 39 parcels, totaling approximately 42.5 acres and 22 existing homes. The notices were reposted in the area and re-advertised for the public hearing. And as presented at the public meeting, the system connection charge or impact fee for existing homes would be $0, and anything new in the district would be $5,768. Front footage cost estimates were $7.27 per front foot, currently capped at 100 feet, and the annual service charge is $254. At the public hearing last week, we heard from one opponent, I think it's this red one here, not interested in the sewer, and she brought with her letters from these two parcels here that they were not interested as well. Questions?
No, I don't have any questions. It just doesn't seem like there's a big overwhelming support. You got like 18 people that didn't respond, and out of the 18, who knows where they stand? And it seems like as more find out about it, they may say, I don't want to be part of it. So, and the difference between 8 and 13 seems not substantial enough at this point. I've heard from one. There's a gentleman back here. I've talked to him, and he made. Of course, the public hearing is closed, but he said he was in the process of talking to other people, and it was an affordability issue, just like we heard, a minute ago, maybe the affordability of some of these projects. So
his concern basically seems to be the front footage charge with his house and two vacant lots.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, an impact fee of zero, I can't get any lower than that.
I know. There's some advantages to it, but once they get, once something happens. But anyway, what projects initiated the?
It's not a project. It's a call from residents, and we're believing it's these four along here.
That basically triggered the.
That's what triggered us actually looking at the thing in the first place.
To service, let's say that's Beaver Dam, right?
Yeah. I mean, we have service the entire way around here. This is Forest Landing. That will have service. Okay. States of Fairway has service. This H&D Townhomes will have service. So it's sort of wrapped around them. It seemed like a smart way when we started getting calls to plan an area to provide to move service that direction. And we have prepared a sort of a proposed revised boundary for you to take a look at if you would like us to present that to you.
Yeah, sure.
Please do. Thank you.
Basically, a portion of the opposition was down here along Central Avenue. These three parcels here, one of them being rather large. This green parcel is Mr. Clogg's, who actually is in support of service for his house, but really doesn't want it for the two vacant lots. That's these two across the street. So our thought was to take the border, come across right above his vacant lots, come up, exclude this parcel because the house is clear down here. And there's no way we can give him a good service if we stop our infrastructure. So our thought was to stop our infrastructure at the last other home on Substation Road that had interest for service. That allows us to put gravity down Beaver Dam Road and up substation to a existing manhole here.
So that would Mr. Clogg wouldn't get it at his home at that point?
He would not get it at his home at this point.
So the green
in discussions
green spot.
With him, I don't know that that's huge impact to him. He likes the idea of sewer being available for his parcels if he sells them, but I don't know he's and he can speak to afterwards. But there was jump above.
We are allowed to speak
as far as service to his house.
Well, that seems to look like it
and
has a lot more green in it.
We've worked with the finance director on the impacts of this change to the costs, and I believe she's prepared to.
Well, it's just that obviously if we reduce the costs, reduce the users, it would potentially reduce the rate some. But
I'm sorry, Mrs. Wolf.
By reducing the cost by providing less sewer infrastructure would possibly reduce the rate some.
Sure. Sure.
Now, John.
Yes.
When you run down Substation Road.
Yes.
You got that road. I forget the name of that little thing going out there. Out there. Those people, they get serviced.
They will get serviced. There is 8-inch. I'm actually noticing that it's not in there, but there will be gravity service to those parcels.
So you'll run a line down there.
Yes.
Now, when you run by all these people that we're leaving out. It's going to go by. Are we going to leave it? We'll leave a connection for them.
What do you mean by leaving people out?
When you go down,
this dark boundary would be everybody that would be included in the.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm still looking at the red and the greens and the whites, thinking that some people are in and some people are out.
Everybody that's in that dark border would be in the district.
Gotcha. Okay. So then
it's two reds at the bottom, though. Would they get a connection in the future if they wanted it?
Well, there's a man. Mm-hmm. They would have to get infrastructure from this manhole down substation,
which could be more costly than just having a connection, right?
Right.
It does
take those people. I mean, a lot of your nodes are out in that.
Correct. The problem is it does not provide a future connection for those parcels on substation, but the more infrastructure that we put in, of course, the price is going to go up.
Sure. No, that's,
So they're left hanging.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I don't know. It's like one of those, seems like a lot of white on there. That's it. That's the only thing that bothers me.
And it's sort of like the last one where we're curious. We send the things out. We're curious. Well, we're not getting impact, or we're not getting phone calls. We're not getting anything. Does that mean they're not interested, or they didn't read it? They throw it in the trash. Are they interested?
They didn't care enough to even show up or answer it, so I'd say it's.
Would say give it to them?
Sure.
We'll show.
Just like you last week. Yeah.
Watch you, Sam. There'll be a day you'll be gone. Is anybody allowed to speak?
Was this subject of a public hearing before?
It was a public hearing last week.
It was a public hearing. The public hearing was closed. The only other time someone could speak is under other business. But we've taken a position, if it's other business that discussing something that there was a public hearing for, that it's closed. It's not a way to bootstrap additional discussions.
Okay. Well, then I sense some iffiness in this. I'll just make a motion that we defer on it, and then we'll have an opportunity if anybody wants to speak after it's over.
Can I make a statement on your deferral?
Just, here you go.
We've deferred once and missed our advertisement for our public hearing. If we defer again, it does the same thing. We have to go back. We have to re-advertise.
We lose the time frame. Correct. We're talking about this.
As we usually allow a week from the time of the public hearing in case you defer 1 week. They deferred last week. If we defer again, it makes us, we repost, re-advertise, have to redo everything.
Right.
Well, Mr. Clogg, is he familiar how you drew these lines at this present
time? He is not familiar with where we cut it off. We've talked about it, that might be a possibility.
Now, if you went a little further, went through that last green lot and stopped it at the edge of where the red starts.
That would get possible service to one of his vacant lots, which I believe is where.
But then that would be easier to add on to later on, or probably, I guess, wouldn't make a difference.
You're still going to have, well, I mean, that would just be a matter of adding a lateral to the one lot to get to the second lot. There would have to be, a regional infrastructure installed.
Mm-hmm. It's a tough one. I had a guy come see me, and he was, I don't know if he's responded to you or whatever, but he was adamant that he didn't want it, you know?
Well, I get adamants that they do and they don't show up.
Yeah,
and
no,
I get adamants that they don't.
All I've heard from are the people that don't want it. So that's the dilemma I'm facing. Like you, I haven't heard from the other people either. So, yep.
Please step forward.
Michael Izzo, county engineer, and I don't know if I could speak on behalf of Mr. Clogg with this current alignment or not. Would that be fair, Mr.
Well, Moore? you're kind of bootstrapping, to say the least, because we did have a public hearing where the public was entitled to speak. Obviously, as a professional engineer, if there was questions the council had concerning the engineering before they voted, that would be one issue, but to try to carry a message, I think, is
fair enough,
to say the least.
One thing I should mention, some of these projects, they are smaller, but we were kind of approached perhaps a year ago when the economy was even more bleak than perhaps it is now, to try to find some projects to put some people to work. I mean, these are projects that had been percolating for some while, but we have this. We have Middleford Road out in the Seaford area and Concord Road and
Tanglewood
and Oak Acres. And that's why we were pursuing these projects, that just trying to create some work and put some contractors to work. But at the same time, you know, help some of the residents that were, as you can see, there are some people in the green that are interested in connecting. So it still puts a burden back on you, Mr. Cole.
Oh, I know. It's
and on the same note, as we run into different funding cycles with the agencies, the numbers are good, and we usually don't have any issues, but we get into different years of their funding cycles and, you know, anticipate that they honor what they've said in one funding year. And not that anything's ever happened, but you just need to keep that in mind out there, that the older we get with the numbers, you know, economy changes for them as well and what they can offer us.
Well, it's just, I know that a lot of these people that move out of, they move out here to get away from things like this, to get, you know, they don't want government services, they don't want sewer, they don't want, they want to, you know, control their own destiny, and then we, you know, swallow them up. So I don't know, I still have a problem, but the rest of the council can move forward. I don't know which better, the alternative or the original. I'm probably not a good one to ask.
Any more thoughts from council?
I can tell you one thing. A new home, $5,700 would be a cheap septic system. Mm-hmm. Anyway, is he standard? Is this standard?
That's actually the Millville.
No, I mean, would the systems going in that area, would they be standard, or would they be
I think there'd be few standard systems.
I don't think there. Yeah, I would be more surprised. Some of the larger parcels might be able to do something, but I don't think so.
I was going to say that that's just a what's the standard system price with no mound, nothing. Sure.
Now, parcel 31 looks like it's a small farm, and it's got some acreage. Would that be? Could they exempt themselves? They pull out of it?
That's this parcel here?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They would have to, how many acres is there? They'd have to have more than 10 acres to be farmland exempt.
They have to prove that they're actually producing so much money from their farm in order to be farmland exempt.
Or the alternative, if the house is so far back from the road that it's just economically viable.
I'm not sure what's on there, but it looks like it's more than, it's at least 10 acres or so. Maybe not.
Yeah, the area. Looks like it's up front.
There's something in the back. It actually looks like there's a house right along this front section here, but something back there. I'm not sure what it is. Maybe a garage or something.
Well, it seems like there's a lot of concern on council. Is there any way we could do any more steps to get these people to reply? And have not the ones in the white
certified letter.
A public meeting in it.
I know you did. I know you did. I'm just looking at this thing and just, is there anything?
Certified letter.
Yeah, I mean,
you could do a referendum.
I don't even know how you do a certified letter without something that's, you know, you've got to respond or we're going to give it to you or something like that, because they've had letters for a public meeting. They've had opportunity to come to public meeting, public hearing. They've had actually two opportunities for public hearings.
But have we had anybody that's been for it at the public hearings?
Yeah, when we had the public meeting in the Millville.
Well, here, no, in front of us. Okay, but I was going to say, somebody criticized that, you know, where are these people that haven't responded? Well, the only people who've responded to our meetings are the people that have been opposed to it, and we've had a couple of those. So
generally, we try to have the public meetings in the neighborhood any evening when more people can attend.
Sure.
You know, on a local. It's for some people, it's hard to come up to Georgetown and attend a meeting. And plus, some people are kind of shy about standing up and speaking out in front of a large
crowd. A lot like Mr. Colby, I understand.
Yeah. Well, what's Mr. the Baker, loss? Oh, if we, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, Mr. Deaver.
What's the loss to the county if we don't do it? I mean, what is the
county had lost? Well, it's just our time.
It's just the time that we've invested
really at this point in time.
And what? Any other negative consequences if we don't do it?
Well, we had some funding lined up. Yeah. How much grant did we have, Susie?
And that's going to help on the cost of hookup?
It brings the cost in line with what we've
$420,000.
Angola and Johnson.
There's still front footage charge. We just eliminated the connection charge with that money.
We've eliminated the one-time connection.
So they'll still have to pay a plumber to hook up, and then abandon everything they got there
on their own end.
And
yes.
then they have the front footage charges, which will be what?
Service charge.
Front footage was approximately what estimated at?
Approximately $727,000.
So these are large lots, and 100 feet, that's 700 a year plus. So it could be close to 1,000 a year, right?
Yeah, approximately $989,000.
When we come back to these, if this project comes back 5 years from now, we always kind of hear, like, for example, we're working the Oak Orchard expansion right now, and they were in the original Oak Orchard, and they opted out, and they're paying more money. And they always say to us, I wish I had it signed up for the first time when the opportunity was there.
Mr. Baker?
Yes, the state did offer some grant funding towards this project, and they've since come back, as I understand it, and indicated it may be a little less. Is that correct?
From the original,
what they offered. So, maybe the next time it might not be available. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But also, I guess
it's very hard because it's very small to get it down in that affordability factor.
If the council wanted to, we could go back and have a referendum like you would for a new sewer district, but you'd have to start the process over again.
I don't have enough residents to get a 50 vote.
Yeah, they can't even get 50.
But we could do it without. We could have a vote without the 50-foot. It's not a mandatory. It's not per the normal referendum requirement.
Sort of based, sort of like the straw vote, only do it as in-person vote.
Right.
You still have the possibility that nobody shows up.
Right. Over time, 40 years.
Phillips,
just think this thing is getting beat to death. It seems like deferring it for this week would be appropriate. If it doesn't come back up, I guess that's the answer.
We have a motion to defer.
Was that a motion, Dan?
A motion to defer.
Yeah, I'll go second. I understand what you're saying, but
any question on that motion? Take a vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes, yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson. I vote yes. Motion carried.
Okay.
Thank you for your work.
So we do not bring it up to you
until somebody says.
Somebody brings it back to
we'll
us. I just want to make sure that we're not supposed to go back through and repost or do anything.
It has been deferred, and if somebody wants to bring it back up, they will contact you. We'll
George Goldsby.
Leave your phone number at the desk.
Jordan.
Sorry about that. I just thought it.
No problem.
That is George Cole's district, so we'll.
No.